This message is, it's just a message of hope, really. If you don't get anything else out of it, my wife and I both hope that you can get hope out of it. That there is a way out of trials. There's opportunity. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to stay where you are. Through Christ, through the Lord, there is hope. True hope, real hope. Some of you may be in a place tonight where you're not hopeful or you're hopeless. Maybe in the deep parts of your soul and your mind. You may not say it, but you may feel that way. So let me just go with, like I said, I had a good upbringing. Went to college, went to Southern Miss here, so not far away from home. Knew a lot of friends there from Columbia and got involved in the BSU, the Baptist Student Union, which was a great thing for me. Met a lot of good friends I still stay in contact with. I grew as a Christian. But there was a season there that started, I think, my sophomore year, where just all of a sudden some things just triggered emotionally. I kind of went into just a funk stage. Started off just with like some detachment from people. I'm a very social person. Usually very gregarious, but I found myself like, whoa, I don't want to be around anybody. I kind of felt sad, and then I started thinking, you know, learning more about depression and what that was, and I was like, well, I'm depressed. I just know I am, you know. And then I started getting anxious, and anxiety set in, and fear set in, and it was a snowball effect, and I didn't really know what in the world was going on. I mean, I knew people got sad and anxious and fearful and things like that. But in the past, if I'd ever experienced that, I just worked through it, and I moved on. But this wasn't like a move on quickly thing. It just kind of sunk in on me and kind of stayed there. And so I sought, went to my doctor, went to my family and my parents and talked to them. We got my doctor prescribed some medication, got on some medication. In a few months, I was fine and moved on with my life. I didn't really tell anybody. I just kind of checked out for a little while and then kind of moved right back in. And nobody really asked. I just, they were like, hey, good to see you again. And I just moved on. So fast forward, I get through college, late 20s. I'm still single. And it happens again. Just something hits. And again, these are not traumatic events that sparked that. For some people, it is something like that that sparks those feelings. For me, it wasn't, and it never has been. But I hit another one. And I just call them episodes or seasons, but it just kind of happens. And so I find myself in the same position. And each time, it gets harder and harder because, you're growing older. You have more responsibilities. I was single at the time. A lot of my friends were married, starting to have kids. I was kind of, where's my place? It was a weird time to be going through something like that, but I did the same thing. Went to my doctor, got a pill, got better in a few months, and moved on. And I didn't really tell anybody. A couple of people knew, but not many. But I was able to maintain life during that time, only by the grace of God, because I didn't feel like doing anything. And so if you've been there, you understand what I'm saying. It's just tough to get going. Either you're down about something or you're scared about something. It's a weird combination. So fast forward some more, I get married. I get married at 31, and I won't give my wife's age when we got married, but I was 31. We both got married later in life. For the norm, but a couple years into our marriage, another one hits, and if you're married, when stuff happens in a marriage, it's hard to kind of check out and disguise and mask things. I mean, after a while, it's gonna come to the front. And so Elizabeth was really, what's going on? She had heard me. She kind of had an experience with me when we were single that I was kind of going through some stuff, but she had not seen it up close. And so, anyway, it came to a head because there we were. We had two small children, One was two and one was just born, like 4 months old. So it's stressful at the house, and then you throw this in. And so when these things happen, it gets debilitating for me. Some people can work through things, but like I said, as I got older, each time it got more and more debilitating to where it would just kind of freeze me in my life. I mean, physically, I would just kind of just sit and just kind of stare off and not really know how to process stuff. I would get really overwhelmed with tasks and details. I just couldn't process them. So at that time, that was 2010, we sought a lot of different counsel. And that's kind of my message tonight. I talked to Trinity about it this weekend. I want to make sure that I make sure you know that God is over everything, right? He's in control of all things. He is, he's master over it all, okay? So that is the foundation of what I'm talking about. Now, I believe that he uses different methods to help people, to heal them, to help them, whatever it might be, from a broken leg to cancer to, you know, mind issues, mental issues, whatever. He uses different, he gives people different abilities and gifts to help people. So we started seeking different counsel. Godly counsel, medical counsel. I started seeing a psychiatrist, which that's just, sometimes that's a taboo word. Like, I saw a psychiatrist. Don't tell anybody. It's a doctor, you know. They go to med school, they learn about the brain, just like a cardiologist goes to med school and learns about the heart. They learn about the brain. It's not a bad word. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person because you went to see one. But I will say this. When I first started, I would like park at the edge of the parking lot and like cloak and dagger to the front door. You know, like get behind bushes and, you know, because I didn't want to be seen at the psychiatrist's office. But you get over that pretty quick. I mean, it's really not a big deal. And there's some quacks out there. I mean, there's some that you don't need to go talk to. I mean, you need to do your homework. But there's some really, really good doctors out there. So anyway, I got a diagnosis. I had heard about different, you know, illnesses and diagnoses and stuff, but they started asking me history, you know, look at this, look at that. What happened here, what happened there, and over the course of that and just observing me, they came up with a diagnosis of bipolar 2. So I was familiar with bipolar. I'd heard a lot about that and other issues, but I'd never heard of bipolar 2. And the main difference is, like with bipolar, you can go really, really high and you can go really, really low, but your high is like really, it's called mania. You can go really high, like you can go to Vegas and blow your inheritance and not even realize what you did. You know, I mean, it's just like, woo, you go crazy. Well, bipolar 2 is just a lot lower on the mania side. You don't get as, you know, wild. You don't get the wild hairs, but you can go really, really low. So, and it also is characterized by periods of the episode and then periods of normal life. So I would be in these seasons for months, a few months, and then I would have 5, 6, 7 years of just being completely normal, just like I'm talking right now. I mean, I would just be myself, and then, boom, it would happen again. It's just really, really bizarre. But so I got that diagnosis. We moved on. I started taking some different medication, which helped. Stay plugged into small groups, Bible studies, church. God used me in different ministries and I own a business as well. I'm self-employed. It's just me. So there's a lot of responsibility there. I was able to continue that business. So the kids get older. Everything's great. I'm working out at Versus back there with my friend who's still there. I'm not there. Hadn't been there in a while. So I got really tired of burpees. But so I was working out at Versus and things were going great, and there was a switch in some of my medication I wanted to switch, and I won't go into all the details, but something triggered and happened again. This was about 2016, so this one was like really different because I think with a lot of things, it was the chemicals, it was the place in life that I was at. You know, y'all talked about those things. You talked about them just a minute ago. There's desires, there's worldliness, there's different places in your life where you are, and it makes it difficult to process life sometimes and to live a godly life at that. And that's where I was. And so it kind of all compounded, and everything just kind of shut down for me. It was a really, really, it was just different than the other times. And so through a process of different means, let me just say this. Up until that point, I kind of kept it hidden, like I'd said before. This time, my wife and I talked, and we were like, we don't care. We've got to get this out. We've got to ask for prayer. We need help. We sat in our Sunday school class, and we just shared that. We just needed help. And we shared what was going on. I mean, I was blubbering. I mean, I was just like, tears were coming from places I just didn't know I could cry that much. But we just shared that, and they all gathered around us and laid hands on us and prayed over us. That was, I think, the first step for us to say, here's what we're doing. Here's what we're dealing with. This is really hard right now for us, and we just need to ask you for help. Our church family, our brothers and sisters, we just need you to come alongside us. We don't really know what you need to do. We don't necessarily need a casserole or, you know, chicken spaghetti, but if you could, like, just come alongside us and help and pray, that would be great. And so they did. They prayed for us, came alongside us, helped us with practical things. I mean, one of the guys came over and raked pine straw off my roof because my wife was really wanting that done, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get up on a ladder on the roof. And so he just raked pine straw off my roof. And that sounds really simple, but I will always remember that. So it's just little things like that that can really, really bless you during those times. So we finally got to a point, and we tried everything. You know, you guys are talking about freedom in Christ, and it's a whole, like I said earlier, it's a holistic type approach, right? So we had people come over and pray over me at home, to one staff member and my Sunday school teacher came over and prayed at our home. I met with our pastor, Dr. Kraft, Eric Kraft. I started meeting with a professional counselor that's a Christian counselor that just texted me a minute ago, said, I hope it goes great tonight. I mean, he's just a great, great guy, and couldn't have made it without him. Randy Sims, I met with him some. He's our family. He's our, I don't know what his title is now, but he's one of our staff. He's a long time, yeah. Associate pastor. Susan knows him really well. She works with him every day. But great friend of mine, longtime friend, I met with him. He's a counselor here at our church. So I'd talk with him. I also went to kept seeing my psychiatrist, who I'd been seeing for like 8 years regularly, 7 years. And so she didn't really know what was going on. She was trying to, let's talk through this, let's talk through that. So we hit it from all angles is what I'm saying. I mean, it was like a shotgun approach. It was, you know, it spread out. And because it was a tough situation. There was a lot of hopelessness. When you get like that, when you're dealing with depression or anxiety, any type of mental confusion or fog, you don't feel like you can get out of the, you don't feel like you can get in the clear. You feel like you're just kind of, there's just a dark cloud over you, and it just kind of follows you. And then you just don't feel like you can move through it. So you start, you can really start pulling back, retreating, isolating yourself. then Satan can get in there and really do a number on you with guilt and shame. And sometimes you can't bring all that to the church. We did this last time, but I didn't feel comfortable the times before. I think there's a, like I said before, there's, you know, we miss that mark on this part of the population. It's a major issue in our culture, and it's only getting worse, especially with the teenagers and youth and social media and all the things, the way that we communicate with each other is isolating a lot of people, and you hear that happen, and you see it happen, and so there's a lot of that going on right now. It's a big issue. Some churches are addressing it a little bit, but none really. I don't think we're hitting the mark on it. It's still taboo in a lot of ways to go around and say that I take medication for depression and anxiety. Sometimes I have trouble getting out of the bed, and I go see a psychiatrist. You know, that's just not something I wear on a T-shirt and come to church, you know. But that's what's going on. That's what was going on for me. And then my wife is a spouse of that, and she has no clue how to handle that. There's not a book on that. There probably is, but I don't know where they are. But, you know, she felt she had her own hell going on, you know, different from mine, but still just as real. And so it's just really important to, I think, recognize where people are and listen to them. If somebody's going through a difficult time, don't tell them to just trust God. I mean, that's ultimately what they need to do. But that was just a really tough thing for me. I had a minister tell me that, a local minister, I was telling him kind of what was going on and where I was going, like medically. And he said, well, I really wouldn't tell too many people that, you know, based on who you are and things like that. And I'll never forget that. I mean, he's a good guy. I've known him for a long, long time, and he's helped a lot of people. He missed that one, though. Okay, he missed that one. I don't want to miss that, and I may, but he missed the mark. I really feel like Jesus wept over that one. That's a strong statement, but it's so real. And we all are ministers, right? If we're in Christ, we all are ministers. And let's don't miss an opportunity, because sometimes you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And you don't know how fragile or how thin a thread somebody may be hanging on. Okay, so you don't want to give those pat answers. Just have faith. Trust God. You know, don't fear. God says not to fear. Well, that's great. I mean, God says also not to give into gluttony, but I can kick back a big, you know, Big Mac value meal, I mean, all day long. I mean, it's not always just cut and dry like that. Okay? So here's the big thing that helped me, and it came from this class, actually. And I sat in this class 2 semesters during all that. The last time I sat at that table right over there. And I was going through unbelievable. I was like in another world. But I came to class every week. I tried to read the book. The book you have, I still have it. I was flipping through it today. There's so many chunks of good resources in there that I would encourage you just to, you can't get it all at once, but keep plugging away at it, reading the just the identity statements and all those things. Continue to read that. It makes a huge difference. For me, this is what really stood out to me. It was in the book. Then Trina and I got to talking about it, and it just clicked for me. All this time, I knew that there was a problem. I was like, this just doesn't happen. I mean, if people go through a traumatic experience, or someone dies in their family, or they lose a loved one, I could see somebody could get depressed or sad, or if somebody's just in a high stress job or doing, they may be dealing with anxiety, but nothing really happened to me out of the norm. And I know there's spiritual warfare, and I know all those things are around us. So, you know, that's part of it too. But I knew that there was something medically going on. And so once I began exploring that, it got closer and closer to that, like I said, the diagnosis, which is not my identity, by the way. My identity is not the diagnosis. That's part of what's going on with my body, which is a fallen creation, right? So that's part of my body, but that's not my identity. And you're learning that too in this class, and that's huge. But there's a difference between the brain and the mind. And I would read in the Freedom Book, and I would talk to other people, and I knew I needed to renew my mind. I needed to fill it with Scripture and renew my mind. And that was so frustrating because I couldn't do it. I mean, I could not do it. I'd look at the Bible, and it'd look like Spanish or Greek. I couldn't even comprehend it. I was very distant from God. I felt cut off, and I just couldn't comprehend it. It wouldn't sink in. And I was like, how am I going to renew my mind? I can't even process this stuff. And I know the Bible. I know verses. I could quote them to a degree, but it just didn't sink in. Something was broken. And that would become, it would be really, really frustrating. I mean, you're like, you're trying to get it. You know, if I try hard enough, if I say Jesus enough times, then everything's going to clear up. And I would. I would say Jesus all day long. Sometimes that's all I could say. But I knew something was wrong. And so there's a difference between the brain and the mind. And this is my biggest point here that helped me so much. The brain is like the hardware of a computer. The mind is like the software. Okay, if you have a computer, if the mainframe, if the hardware is messed up, the software is not going to work properly. You've got to get the hardware cleared up. You've got to get the hardware fixed for the software to function like it's supposed to function on a day-to-day basis. So the brain is an organ given to us by God, just like our heart, lungs, whatever. And it's a very important organ. I mean, it functions the whole body. So it is physically and medically, this isn't a myth. There are truly chemicals in your brain. Some people will tell you, it's just an excuse. I mean, but they are. They're truly chemicals in your brain. That's why people exercise, that's why people eat certain foods, and that's why some people take medication to balance those things out. I knew mine was whacked out, and so I knew it was off. When that statement came through that you got to fix the brain before you can fix the mind, it made all the difference in the world to me. It's what I needed to feel, okay, all right, we can go after this. I'm not crazy for going to this doctor. I'm not crazy for taking medicine. I'm not any less of a Christian for using these means to help me. But it would be a waste to stop there. It would be a waste just to take the medicine and get better and get fine and then move on with my life. So I got better. I came out of the hole, praise God. And I began thinking clearer so that I could renew my mind. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it took that process for me, that formula for me. And so it would be a waste for me to say, thank you, I'm good. I'm going to move on with my life and not ever renew my mind, not ever get back into the Word, not ever get plugged into ministry of what God wanted me to do. So I was able to do that. Verses meant something different to me. The Bible came alive again. My thought patterns were clear. That's what medicine can do. God gifted people. And it's amazing how that works. I mean, it is, my wife can attest to it. It's like not a light switch, but I mean, it's like a completely different life and a completely different way of life. I'm now functioning. I'm handling more responsibility and more stuff than I ever have in my life, working harder than I ever. And this has been inside a year this last time. It lasted for 2.5 years. Daily, we thought about selling the business. I couldn't function. I had to get my wife and kids to go with me to do some of my work because of fear. We thought about, like I said, selling the business. Praise God, I'm in the business that I'm in because some of it is residual type work where I don't have to physically do the work every single day. so we never missed a bill. I think I lost one customer during that two and a half year period. And since then, it's not about money or numbers, but since then, God has blown up the business. I mean, just it's transferred into a lot more than I can handle right now, which is a good thing. But I say all that to say there are blessings coming out of all the mess. And I've got to wrap up because Jay's giving me a finger back there. Not the bad finger, but the, which he could. That'd be fine. But let me just share this one scripture with you. Listen, things are good now. They weren't good for a while. They're good now. But history tells me that it's probably going to happen again. I hope it doesn't. But I don't want to waste what happened. And so I've come out of this with a passion and a sense of urgency to share these things, to be transparent, to help others, because we need the help. We need to take our mask off, and we need to ask for help. If you are here tonight and you need help inside, you know you're struggling or you're desperate or you feel hopeless, seek out help. If you don't know who to talk to, get in touch with me or Trinity or JJ or my wife Elizabeth. Call the office. There's free counseling here. Start somewhere, and then you can get the first place you go may not be the ultimate answer, but you can get there. There is hope. If you have a friend or a family member and you don't know, man, what's going on with them? I don't understand this. Call me. I didn't understand what was going on. It is a wild, wild thing. And it's not just, it could be anything that somebody's going through that's isolating themselves, that's in a funk, that's in a disconnected position. But here's the last thing I wanted to share, and it's from 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. And you ask why these things happen. Like, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? I didn't want it to happen. I didn't want this to be my thorn in the flesh. I want it to go away. I didn't want this to be my thing, you know, that I have to share the rest of my life. But it is. And now I welcome it. And it's so freeing to talk about it. It's like, wow, that feels good just to say, I don't care. And it's real, and I need to talk about it because people need help. And so the reason why these things happen, anything, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's a lot of comfort in there, and that's very, very encouraging. So that's why things happen. Everybody goes through something. Don't waste it. Use it, but use it for the glory of God. So thank you for your time, and honestly, to God be the glory for the things he's done. Thank you.